when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Abiding Light Church in Manchester, New Hampshire. We want to greet each and every one of you that have tuned in to this radio broadcast today. We count it always a great privilege and an honor to come and share the word of the Lord with you, my brothers and sisters and my friend. Today we're going to the book of Judges, chapter 2. We're going to bring the word of the Lord to you today out of the book of Judges in verse 6 is where we'll be taking the reading from God's word. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel, went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders and that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And verse 10 of Judges chapter 2, in verse 10, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor the works which he had done for Israel. Joshua had the great honor and privilege to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Let's not forget that God had brought his people out of the land of Egypt after 430 years of bondage. He brought them out. He brought them across the Red Sea, the generation that wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. The Bible declares that they had seen all the great acts that the Lord had used to deliver them out of the land of Egypt. He delivered them by a mighty hand of deliverance. The Bible declares, brothers and sisters, that God did great acts and miracles that he performed. And we know that the heart of Pharaoh hardened. And he says, I'm not going to let them go. I'm not going to let them go. But that generation seen the hand of God bring a mighty deliverance after 430 years of bondage and slavery. God then brought them across by a great man of God, Moses, across the Red Sea. God rose up Moses as a mighty man of God, and he was used by God mightily. So the children of Israel seen the great acts of God wrought by the hand of Moses, how God used him mightily. They had seen it. This generation wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, murmuring and complaining about God being able to supply their needs, water and food and clothing and shelter. They murmured and complained oftentimes to Moses. And basically, brothers and sisters, they were not able to enter into the promised land. But there was a generation that was born in the wilderness that had not seen the great acts of the Lord that he brought them out of Egypt. This young generation did not see the hand of God and the mighty acts that he performed like their forefathers. They heard of the great acts. This was a young generation that we're preaching about in Judges chapter 10 that only had heard of the great acts. They had only heard the stories of God's mighty miracles and his acts that he performed to deliver them out of Egypt. The Bible declares in verse 10 that Joshua brought them in to the promised land, and all that generation passed away that were in the wilderness because they had a spirit of unbelief and God would not let them enter in. except for two, Joshua and Caleb. The Bible declares that they had another spirit within them. The Bible declares that this younger generation, after all of their forefathers had passed away, these were the ones that came into their inheritance of the promised land. And there arose another generation, Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, after them, which knew not the Lord. Is there a possibility that we have a generation of Christians that only have heard about the great and mighty acts of days gone by? I believe that there's ever been a time that we live in a generation where many Christian believers have never really experienced in reality or know the true power of the Lord. The Bible declares to us that Paul the Apostle said it best in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Paul said that I may know him and his power. This is so important for every believer to have that intimate relationship with the Lord. And knowing him and his power, the most important thing after we receive salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ, because what many will tell you today is that you receive it all that God has for you at salvation. But that does not what the Bible teaches. That is not what the Bible declares to us. The Bible declares that there is a salvation experience, but there also is an experience in the baptism of water and of the Spirit. Was it not John the Baptist that said in Mark 1, 7, and 8 that there was one coming after me whose shoe latchets I'm not worthy to unloose? He, when he comes, I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with power. I'm talking about knowing him and the power that he has available for every believing Christian. The Bible declares to us, brothers and sisters, that in Mark 1 and 8, he said, I indeed baptize you with water, but there is one that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. There is a baptism available for every believer. John declared that I come preaching repentance and repentance of sin and salvation. We all have that experience when we accept Christ as our Savior. We are born again, the Bible declares. And we receive Christ at the salvation experience. Being born of the Spirit, John 3 and 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But the Bible also declares to us there is another baptism. After you have your salvation experience, many go on as an outward symbol to many that they will be baptized in water. Amen. And I believe in the baptism in water. The Bible teaches that. But there's one baptism that's more important than that, and that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Bible declares that this is something that every Christian believer has available to them. It's not just for a particular denomination. It's not just for anybody. It's for everybody. We sometimes say, well, it's only for this group or that group or for this denomination or the full gospels or the Pentecostals or the Assembly of God, the Church of God, or all your full gospel denominational churches. But brothers and sisters, the Bible declares to us that this is for you and for your children and for many as the Lord thy God shall call. It is for those that are hungering and thirsting for it. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is so necessary for the life of every believer. The Bible declares to us in Romans chapter 8, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead, Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Paul the Apostle, in the book of Acts, He came to a couple disciples, and he began to share with them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" These men here had said to Paul, "We have not even known what this Holy Ghost is." Isn't it a sad thing that there's many Bible-believing Christians that have received the salvation experience, but they've never been taught that there is more for them than just salvation? Many believe that you just get salvation and you've got it all. But the Bible declares in Acts chapter 19, in verse 2, he said unto these two disciples in Ephesus, he said unto them, Acts 19 and 2, he said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" That gives us the possibility that you can be a believer but not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. These men didn't even know what the Holy Ghost was. And they said unto him, "We have not so much as even heard whether there be a Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were ye baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism," the baptism of repentance. In verse 4, the Bible declares in Acts 19, "Then said Paul, John verily baptized you with the baptism of repentance." John baptized you with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, I know that many say, well, that was just many denominations, and many people declare that that went out with the apostles, that that was not for us. That was only for the 120 in the upper room. Listen to me. On the day of Pentecost, the church was birthed in power. The church was birthed on that day with 120. They heard a sound from heaven on the upper room experience, the day of Pentecost. And they heard a mighty sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And the Bible declares that they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The day of Pentecost was the birth of the New Testament church. And the Bible declares to us, brothers and sisters, that in this last day, Joel said, he declared that God is going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. It's not just for a particular people, a particular group, a particular clique, or just certain church denominations. The Bible says it's for many as the Lord thy God shall call. John declared, amen, "There's one coming after me that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with power." In the book of Acts, he went on to say in verse 8 of chapter 1, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and unto Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." You shall receive power. You know, many today never experience this because of unbelief. The same reason why that generation that knew not the Lord. There is a possibility that we live in a generation of Christians that know not the Lord nor his power. We've heard of days gone by of the great powers of the moves of God's Spirit. We read about the great revivals of days gone by, the Wells Revival. We read of the Azusa Street revivals and the great miraculous moves of God's power. I remember hearing my grandpa and other great elder men of the Lord that God has placed in my life talk about the great acts that God did in years gone by. And we hear of the miraculous manifestations of God's healing power and miracles that were wrought by the hands of men of God that had received this power from on high, this Holy Ghost power. The Bible declares in Acts 1 and 8, I just read it, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This is the power that is available to every believer today. But I believe that we live in a generation that knows not God nor His power. We live in a generation that only knows Him from what we've heard from others of years gone by. But I believe that this power is available to the church today. Amen. It is for us because our God does not change. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today and forever. He changes not. The fact is that this generation that came, they knew not the Lord. They heard of the acts. They heard of the stories of how God delivered them out of Egypt, but they did not know this power for themselves. Isn't it a sad day that we live in, where there are many Bible-believing Christians that have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost? The Bible declares to us that this is what is necessary in the life of every believer if we are going to be able to overcome in this life. Listen, you don't have the power to overcome sin. You don't have the power to live a holy life as Christ has commanded you. Jesus said to be holy because I am holy, saith the Lord. He said you are to live a separated life, to come out from among the world and be a separated people, saith the Lord. Touch not and handle not the unclean thing. God's word declares to us that we are a people that have been ordained of God to live a life of overcoming, but without our own strength and our own power, we are not able to do this. It's only done by the power of God's Spirit within us. The Bible declares in Zechariah 4 and 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This is the power of the Holy Spirit, that when we open up our hearts and we want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Bible declares that those that hunger and thirst for it, hallelujah, they shall be filled. The Bible declares that Jesus cried out on that great day of the feast, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Listen, I'll tell you, the book of James tells us that the body without the spirit is dead. And a Christian without the power of the Holy Ghost in their life is dead. Just like a body without the spirit, it is dead. It begins to just not be able to have any life. And any church without the power of the Holy Spirit of God is dead. That's why, brothers and sisters, many today are not receiving what they need from God in the churches. There's many that need healing. There's many that need deliverance from the powers of sin and iniquity. The Bible declares to us, brothers and sisters, it's not the intellectual knowledge that's going to be able to deliver men. It's not the doctor's degrees that men have in their lives through the seminaries and Bible colleges that enable a man to be able to speak eloquently and speak of all the great wisdom and knowledge that they've learned. Amen. I believe in studying to show yourself approved unto God and knowing the word of God, being able to rightly to divide the word of truth. But I believe we live in a generation of preachers and ministers and Christians that lean more on their carnal mind and their understanding of the truth rather than experiencing and knowing truth. Listen, Jesus said, I go away, but I send you another comforter. He said, and he will come, the Spirit of truth. He will come and he will lead you and he will guide you into all truth, and he shall be in you. This is the Spirit of God. This is the baptism of the Holy Ghost that the upper room experienced, and those Christians received on that day in the upper room. They received power from on high. We need the Holy Ghost in our lives, my friend, today. And without this power, we are not going to see healing manifested in the churches. We're not going to see people set free from the powers of sin. You look at the drug addicts. You look at those that are living lives that are bound by the powers of darkness. You look at this rebellious generation of young people. The only hope for this generation is Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters and my friend, today I'm going to tell you that the church has nothing to offer this generation without a real, genuine experience of God's power in their life personally. The Bible declares in our text that there arose a generation that knew not the Lord, nor his mighty acts that he had performed. We have heard, we've read books on days gone by of great men, your Smith Wigglesworths, mighty men of God from days gone by, men that walked with power, your Billy Sundays, your great men of God of days gone by that walked in power and anointing, men that were used mightily by God. And I could go on and on of great men, men that were full of the Holy Ghost and the power of God. Paul the Apostle declared to us, he told that Corinthian church in chapter 2, when I came to you not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came to you in demonstration of the power of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and of the Spirit and of power. Paul said, I've got a doctor's degree. I've got great knowledge. I sat under Gamaliel. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He had great education, great knowledge beyond one of the probably greatest intellectual minds in the Bible. But yet he said, I didn't come to you with my great knowledge, my great understanding of the Bible and the laws of God. And he says, but I've come to you, Corinthians, not with excellency of speech, but I come to you with demonstration and power of the Spirit of God. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You must agree with me today. Preaching is not getting the job done. Even though God has chosen the foolishness of preaching, the Bible declares to us that it's not done by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. The work that needs to be done in this last day hour is going to be done by Holy Ghost-filled men and women of God. Daniel declared that those that know their God, he lived in a rebellious, wicked, evil Babylon. Daniel said, those that know. Paul said that I may know him and his power of his resurrection. And that same power is available to you and to me today. Daniel said, those that know their God shall do great works, great exploits. They shall walk in power. They shall do great things for their God. The power of the gospel needs to be preached by men of God in this last day hour with power and authority and anointing. Men that are full of the Holy Ghost. Men that know their God and know the power of his resurrection. I want to encourage you today to know that our God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. He changes not. But there is a generation that we live in right now that knows not God, neither his works. And we need to see the work of God in our lives, the work of the Holy Ghost in our lives. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Abiding Light Church in Manchester, New Hampshire, and we want to thank each and every one of you that have tuned in today. We'd like to hear from you if you're out there listening today, and this message has been an inspiration to you. I pray that you would write us and contact us. We're at 417 Granite Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. You could also reach us by telephone and let us know you've listened to the broadcast and if it's been a blessing to you. You can reach us at area code 603-641-2022. That's area code 603-641-2022. Or just drop us a letter. Let us know you're listening. We're in Manchester, New Hampshire, the Abiding Light Church at 417 Granite Street in Manchester. We want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in today. And may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you today in Jesus' name.